sermon for the week. So let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we go to your word for comfort in these difficult times. We come to you for peace. We come to you for guidance. So Father, as we look into your word, we ask that you would give us those things that we crave. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at a passage out of 2 Timothy. If you have your Bible there, which I hope you do every week, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, just the first seven chapters. The little background on Timothy. Timothy was the young disciple of Paul. Paul was raising him up to be a young pastor. And when in 1 Timothy, he's giving him all kinds of instructions on how to be a young pastor and how to pick church leaders and whatnot. In 2 Timothy, Paul is in prison in Rome and is pretty clear from his writing that he knows that he more than likely will not be getting out of prison. So he's writing this letter to Timothy to encourage him, and he's pretty much writing this letter as the last message he's going to give to his young disciple. So again, 2 Timothy 1:1-7, that's where we're going to be. I hope you've got your Bibles with you. I want to talk today about feeding your faith, not your fear. If you watch television today, these days, you're a brave soul, because depending on what channel you're on, you have one channel that's feeding your fear and another channel that's feeding hope, and then they switch sides, and then the same channel, you don't know what's going on. But we need to take responsibility for what we feed our hearts. And you have a choice. You can feed the fear that is realistic. You can dwell on that. You can feed the fear, or you can feed your faith. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, I've had moments of fear in my life. I can remember years ago, I had bought a nice little piece of jewelry, and I was in the jewelry store after work to pick it up. It was finished, and I'm very tired. It's at the end of the day, and I'm standing there waiting for the girl to get the item out of the back. And I hear this, and this somebody yelling in a very loud voice, "Don't move!" And I turned, and this, in my mind at that time, was the largest police officer I've ever seen in my life, with a shotgun aimed at me, and another policeman walking down the side of the store with his gun drawn. Turns out that there had been a robbery reported in the area. And they walked in and they saw me. I was kind of a grubby guy, a truck driver at the time. They saw this grubby guy standing at the counter and they thought I was robbing the store. I was scared. Turns out apparently I didn't go to prison, so it wasn't me. Maybe you've had scary times in your life. Have you ever been afraid that your company that you work for might close? That's a realistic fear these days. Or perhaps that you would lose your job as a part of this process. Have you ever been afraid that you wouldn't have anything to eat? Have you ever been afraid of going to the dentist or the doctor? I can relate to that one. Have you ever been afraid of what the x-ray or the CT scan or the MRI might reveal? See, the global unrest that we're experiencing, this coronavirus pandemic, the shakiness of our once robust economy certainly causes us to be concerned. But we don't have to feed our fear. Let's feed our faith. Now, David said in Psalm 56:3, listen to these words, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Paul writes this letter to Timothy. It's a difficult time for ministry in the life of Timothy and for the Apostle Paul. Timothy was having trouble at the church at Ephesus where he served, and Paul's in prison, as I said. So the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy are God's words of encouragement, not just to Timothy, but to us. When we do face fear, and we do, we must learn how to feed our faith and not our fears. So how do we do this? Well, you feed your faith in a couple of different ways. We go to the text. This is the word of God from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Lord, as we go into your word, open our hearts and minds to the message that you would have us have. Speak to us as Paul spoke to Timothy. Amen. Well, the text opens up, as Paul always does, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Now, that's an interesting statement. Everything Paul did since his conversion was because of the following the will of God in his life. Nothing happens to us but what God knows about in advance. Did you know that? Nothing happens to you that God doesn't already know about. Mark Lowry once said, did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Let me say that again. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He already knew it. He knows about it before it happens, and he allows it for our good and his glory. We're all maybe familiar with this passage from Romans. Oops, I went too far. There we go. Romans 8:28. Well, let's see. Okay. I didn't tip to, okay, we go. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And in the second half of that first verse, this is just the second half, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that he is called according to the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say this, listen to this in John, 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. See, God knows all about what's going on with us. The way of life is Jesus. So the one way is through the will of God. That's how we feed our faith. The second way is through the way of the Son. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. The way of Jesus is life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He offers his life by his grace. Grace is undeserved forgiveness and justification. And his mercy. In John chapter 14, 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's there for us. Today, in these difficult times, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, by repenting of your sins and truly believing Jesus died on the cross in your place for your law breaking, and believe that he was